This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis riding out again on Old Dan. Come on, Dan, let's get a getting. We got to get on down there to the little country church or Brush Arbor or Bend of the Creek and bring God's message. Where we find a few folks who will stand still long enough to preach a message and bring a message of God's Word. We're looking at a study now. Many of you folks have been with us now for quite a while, and I appreciate that. I appreciate everyone who have written, telling me that you're standing with us, praying for us, and helping us with the broadcast. And if you would, let your neighbors know. And then all of these messages on the Revelation are in print. If you'd like to have a set of them, you write me. I've told you several times before, Pastor Shelton was here for 50-odd years, and he brought these messages over the Voice of Truth broadcast, and we put them in print long years ago, and I picked them up, gleaning from them, taking his notes and his outlines, and then adding what the Lord gives me. But I'm not a scholar, most of you know that, and I'm just an old country bumpkin that the Lord picked up and give me grace to be true to the souls of men. So we're bringing you this study and hoping and praying that the Lord will take something home to some poor soul's heart. We're looking at a study on the mark of the beast. But before we got started in that, we were looking, giving you a little background, speaking about the doctrines of God's Word. And we saw in there how that the Lord had chosen a number that no man could number. But listen, let me go back and read that again. I had it in our last study. I do not know how until the gospel is preached under the power of God's Holy Spirit and begins to call out his elect. I don't know that. Every one of God's elect, the Holy Spirit will call out. Folks won't have the gospel, the election of God, but listen to God's word in Ephesians 1:4. According as he has chosen, I determined to bring this back to you again. We had it in our last study, but it was so heavy on my heart. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Listen now to 1 Peter 1:2. I wish you'd write these verses down. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit and obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen now to John 15:16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go forth and bring fruit, that your fruit should remain. Now let's turn to 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, if you will, turn to Romans 8:30. You know these verses. Oh, we all know Romans 8. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now listen to 2 Timothy 1:9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. These scriptures suffice to show us that you cannot defeat God nor his purpose in the salvation of his elect. When Paul went to Antioch and began to preach there, it says, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Believed, my friend. Now, this believing has gotten a lot of folks into trouble, hasn't it? God, believing that God is God, or believing that God is a historical character, is not what he mean here. No. Thank God, in the midst of the darkest period of the world's history, when the whole world wonders after the Antichrist and worship him, God's elect are called forth by the Spirit of God. They see that he is the light. Listen now. Let me go back and read that again. You didn't get it. They see that he is the lie, the son of Satan, speaking of the Antichrist, and they turn to Christ as the only Savior. Saved by his blood, delivered by his power, they will not bow the knee to pay homage and to the world's Superman, but will suffer martyrdom instead. I wish we preachers, you and I, and our church leaders and deacons and evangelists could grasp that great eternal doctrine in this day of so much shallowness, religious profession, froth, all of those things without Christ and under the power of God's Holy Spirit, that we that the Spirit would lay bare the human hearts and that we could wait on God to call out His elect instead of loading our churches continually with dead wood, which adds dead weight to the already dead church. Now, my friend, I wasn't here, but I understand from reading and studying back there in the days gone by, in the old days we call it, when an individual came under conviction and was saved and went down to begin to take part in the local church, he had to be examined by a group of men who were saved and who were called out according to God's purpose. And they had that individual as a candidate for a member of that church. And he had to give evidence showing that he knew the Lord. He had to tell how he was saved, when he was saved, where he was saved. We don't have that no more. No, sir. We have invited the world into the church, so now we have worldly churches. The remnant that might have been there that was saved have been overruled and overpowered, and God's people have gotten out. Give up. That's right, getting to give up. I mentioned lately that I received a letter from a man up there in Appalachia. He said, Pastor, they don't have a church in my area that preaches the sovereignty of God. He said, I love the people of this church. I love the people of my church. But the pastor doesn't preach the sovereignty of God. He preaches just a decision for Jesus. Free willism, that's what they call it. Free willism. They have churches called Free Will Baptist, Free Will This, Free Will That, Hard Shell This, Hard Shell That. And listen, my friend, no. Now, if you will, turn with me. We're looking there in the 11th verse of the 13th chapter and of Revelation. Let's read another, a beast known as a false prophet. We're going on down the line now. And I beheld another beast. We've already seen one. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and the sea which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he hath power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. Listen now. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast that was, the image of the beast should both speak, and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that understandeth count the number of the beast, for it is the number of the man, and his number is 666, or 666. Now, my friend, there's much speculation about those things, but if you take God's word and read it, and just let the Lord take it home to your heart, in that time, there'll be a mark put on every individual in order for him to buy or sell or do any kind of commerce at all. And those that won't accept that mark, it doesn't matter what the mark is, but it says here. But listen, we saw in our study of the first beast that came up out of the sea, who was the Antichrist, that Satan gave him his throne and his authority, and he accepted it. The second beast, which John said, come up out of the earth, had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. He was a lamb-like creature. He is spoken of in Revelation 19:20 as the false prophet. Here we have the Trinity of hell, complete. The old dragon, who is Satan, the anti-God, the beast, the anti-Christ, the lamb-like spirit, lamb-like beast, or the anti-spirit. As Christ came to reveal God the Father to the hearts of men, so the Antichrist reveals Satan and leads men to worship Satan. As the Holy Spirit shows us the things of Christ and reveals Christ to the human heart as our all-sufficient Savior and Lord, so the false prophet leads the world to worship the false beast, the Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed, who was slain and was raised from the dead. It says in verse 13, and he doth great wonders, And one of these wonders is, he maketh fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. What miracles this false prophet will work in the name of the Antichrist. In the 14th verse it says, he is permitted to do those things that he may deceive them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he has power to do in the sight of the beast. Poor, blinded humanity, dwelling in the spirit of delusion that God has sent upon them because they have rejected Christ, they will accept these miracles as coming from God and turn worship and in turn worship the beast who will have been raised from the dead. It's hard to believe, isn't it, folks? But that's what the world will one day will gather in the church building where we now gather and worship Christ. Where we gather and worship Christ, and they'll worship the beast. That is the Antichrist and his image. I've often tried to get folks' attention here in the tabernacle where our services are held, or were held before Katrina. And I've often said, speaking of the end time, the Lord says he'll come as a thief in the night. I said, you folks that are not saved, some of you will come here on Sunday morning or Wednesday night, Sunday night, and the tabernacle will be all locked up. Won't nobody be here to turn the lights on. Miss Katie will be gone on to be with the Lord. There won't be any lights here. And you'll say, wonder why? The pastor must have overslept, or the pastor must have went out of town. But it would it be? And then others will stagger up. A few more will stagger up who don't know the Lord. Those who've been sitting there for a long time wouldn't have the Lord to rule over them. They'll say, well, you know what? I didn't hear him make no announcement about calling the services off. But no, my friend, the Lord will have taken us out. And it would be like a thief in the night. You won't know it. You won't know it, and folks won't believe it. But then it will be only left for the Antichrist. Are you going to wait and serve the Antichrist, my friend? Is that what you're going to do? You're going to receive the mark of the beast? Oh, I'll never take the mark of the beast. We will. You will, my friend. You'll do it willingly. You've done things already that you said you would never do. I asked you, don't say what you won't do. Well, I've had folks tell me, well, I won't never come back and hear this old preacher again. Hellfire. You will, or you'll go to hell for your trouble. We have dozens and dozens and dozens of our folks who over the years have turned away, turned aside, turned against the gospel, and gone out to serve the lust and pleasures of this world. If they never come back, they'll go to hell for their trouble. You say, Trailblazer, you're just too dogmatic. Well, I appreciate being dogmatic. But my friend, listen, if it's your soul, if one soul gets saved under the old Trailblazer ministry, it'll be worth it all if it's your soul. I ask you, how is it with your soul? Are you trusting the Lord? Are you trusting in the things of the world? Are you looking for the Lord to return? Or are you just waiting for the Antichrist? Well, I just won't take the mark. No, I won't take the mark. But you will. You will. You will, my friend. And then you'll wind up in hell with the Antichrist and with the false prophet and with the beast of the... Oh, listen, my friend, that's a sad day coming. This is reality that we're speaking of. This is not a fantasy world. No, sir, I'm bringing you what God loves, and that's the truth. And I asked you, would you just trust him? Would you come to the Lord, bow your knee, hoist the white flag, give up all your old rebellion, and come on to the Lord? Would you do that? I asked you to do that. The Lord says he's not willing that any should perish. Did you ever read that verse? Go over there and find it. I won't tell you where it is. Maybe you hunt for it. It says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to life. Oh, my friend, there's hope. I don't preach doom and gloom. No, there's hope. I hold out hope for you. Right now, there's hope. You turn to the Lord now, there's hope. And you say, what about deathbed repentance? Well, I believe if you ask the Lord to save you, he will. But you may not get to the dead. You may not get to the bed, my friend. You may get killed in a fire crash somewhere. But listen, this is the old Trailblazer. Remember my mailing address? Would you write me and tell me that you appreciate the message? Tell me that you don't. You may not believe a word I say, but my address is the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana 70174. Goodbye.